Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are rebroadcast on a2zen.fm. You want to check the website for listings and times and days. And we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show page. We also have interviews that will make it to the radio airwaves, but we have recorded them and they are available for you at two different spots. You can go to the interviews page. It's different from the radio shows page. Just by virtue of title, the radio shows page are the programs that have been on the radio and are now in the archives. The interviews page are those interviews that will be going to the radio and then be put into the archives, but you get a chance to listen to them beforehand. And we hope that you will check that out as well. As our guests and their information, we are linked to every single one of our guests on the internet, and we don't reinvent the wheel. We just send you to the place where the wheel is made really well by our guests at their website. So check that out. Also, if you'd like to become a part of the work that we are doing, we would certainly gratefully accept that. There is a page called the Missions page, and there is a link at the bottom. We get an explanation of what our mission is all about, if you don't already know, that if you'd like to support the work that we're doing, there is a PayPal link, and if you'd like to contribute in that fashion, we are more than grateful. Today's program is on health and wellness and just doing all of the right things. When I was 15, folks, I used to think about what it would be like to be older. I kind of got a kick out of it because I thought as a kid that the adults were making it really complicated. And then I became an adult and I understood why it sounded like they were making it really complicated. But also, I realized that at the age of 15, if I started now, putting the right things into my body, both in terms of food and drink, but all other things as well, when I got to be an adult, older, and to the age that I am now, I would probably be doing pretty well. And I have to say that since my most recent physical, I'm doing pretty well. I, like a lot of folks, probably could stand to lose a few pounds, which doesn't hurt. Not that I'm overweight by any means, but it certainly, why carry it around if you don't need to? Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about pain. Or becoming pain-free naturally. The title of the book that we're going to be talking about is Naturally Pain-Free, Prevent and Treat Chronic and Acute Pain Naturally. We're going to talk with the author of that book as well as two others. One of them is Feed Your Tiger, The Asian Diet Secrets for Permanent Weight Loss. Ah, I should be reading this book from cover to cover. And Vibrant Health and Letha Hadidi. Yeah, I want to welcome you to our program.
Hello, Richard. Hello on a beautiful day. Hope you're feeling great.
I am feeling fabulous, not just because my doctor says that I should be, but I just do anyway. And I think that our folks will also feel pretty fabulous, especially after hearing this program. I'm wondering, in terms of starting out from square one, if a lot of folks, whether they've had a physical, gotten the report from the physician or not, just in a general sense, they kind of look in the mirror or they kind of do a personal assessment, inward personal assessment of how they're physically feeling, aches, pains, tiredness, all of those different kinds of indicators. And they kind of know intuitively, you know, I really haven't been doing the best that I could be. It doesn't mean that I've got to go microbiotic or vegan or eliminate all of these different foods, because I have to raise this question to you. If I eliminated all of the foods that aren't good for me, I wouldn't be eating anything and I would become a breatharian and just be breathing, which is not a bad thing, but it doesn't necessarily sustain the body.
A little boring, maybe, just air.
A little extreme,
air
too.
It's fabulous. It goes into all of our cells. But this is a great line of discussion to pursue. What should we eat to stay well, to prevent illness, to be boost energy, to boost vitality, to rejuvenate, what's the best diet for us. So there isn't any one answer because we are different. What I did in Feed Your Tiger, the book that is purports to be a weight loss book, but it's actually a book that addresses our addictions and our body type. We can't really have a healthy weight unless we address our addictions, and they can be emotionally based. They can be a craving, dietary based, and I broke them into several categories. And instead of blood types, which I find boring, and almost everybody is typo anyway, I used a Chinese formula based very loosely on a Chinese martial art called the animal form. So I thought, what of our friends among us and ourselves, who of us looks like a dragon, a bear, a tiger, or a crane? A crane is that beautiful, graceful, very slim bird. Well, some of us are dragons because we have a lot of water weight. Dragons float around in the water, and they have water retention. And they might have a weakened immune system, maybe more prone to colds and flu and allergies and weight gain like obesity, especially after illness. And there might be a history of cancer and heart trouble because of all this water retention. That's a dragon. A dragon is full of water and sometimes spouts fire. A bear, I suspect you might be a bear, Richard, because
okay.
I can tell from your voice and from a discussion that we've had in the past that you like sweets, and maybe if you have a weight problem, it's around the middle, from the waist down and from around the middle. And you can be a honey bear or you can be a grizzly bear, depending on your mood, and mood swings are another aspect of the bear. And for that person, they have to be more aware of a diet that would help prevent diabetes or blood sugar imbalances or just an excess weight around the middle, because that weakens the heart. Another one person could be a tiger who is muscular, who is sort of medium weight and height, angular features. They like travel, they like spices, but they might have some allergies, like food allergies. They might have headaches. They might have certainly arthritis or eye problems. They need to balance their spices with some cooling alkaline greens, aloe vera, some nice foods to help detoxify the liver. The crane is the person who, I know we all know some of them, they'd rather smoke and talk and work than eat. And they're kind of skinny sometimes, and they need to be grounded. They need to be nourished. They need to be grounded. Good foods for them would be healthy sources of protein that are very easily absorbable, like non-GMO tofu, like mushrooms, and a diet that's going to make them feel like they've eaten something, even though they're not going to take time to eat, like a banana. I mean, a banana is a starch, but it's also very healthy for us. A baked sweet potato, that's also grounding, especially if you put a little nutmeg on it. I love to give recipes when I'm talking about health, because it's something that we can all approach. We can all afford to eat better. We can't always afford expensive supplements. We should try to avoid hazardous medical testing or testing that is going to lead to drugs and surgery. As much as possible, we should try to, I think, go the natural route, because it's better all around for our body and for prevention of illness.
Yeah, most of my testing has been siphoning off of fluids for testing. So that's not too hazardous. A little painful, but you know, I'm working through it. Now, I noticed that you have at the front end of this particular book, "Feed Your Tiger." When I've read the title, the 15-year-old was screaming at me, food karma. And I'm going, yeah, I am where I am today, and I am paying the, if you will, the karmic price for not have done it. Now, I have to, first of all, I have to give my parents and my mother in particular all the credit in the world, because when we were born and being raised in that household and going to school and everything, she did everything that she could to feed us well, to give us. She does not remember, and this is not a spurious memory of mine. She does not remember giving us spoonfuls of cod liver oil.
Oh, ouch.
Okay.
So you're saying, oh, no.
Well, but the thing is...
They make capsules now.
They make capsules now, and I'm actually using the fish oil capsules as well, giving them to our dogs as well. It helps their coat.
I give them to my cats. I give cat liver oil to my cats. For your vegans in the audience who want to avoid fish, there are other excellent sources, oil sources of omega-3, including flax seed. And there's even a hypertension remedy that I know of, an herbal remedy that has grape seed extract. So there are other good oils besides cod liver oil.
Right. Well, again, my mother gets all the credit in that regard for doing her very best to help us out in spite of all of the junk that we were buying at the local convenience store.
Like that,
yeah, exactly. And so she's. I think that if she hadn't done that, I would be even worse off today than I am. And a lot of the stuff that she made was fabulous. Most of it tasted really good. Mm. There were those occasional times when it was questionable whether we were even going to be able to swallow it.
Mm.
But the thing that I am finding that is so interesting as I observe others, but also observe myself, like I said, I just went through recently a physical and they did all the blood tests and were scanning and this and that and the other thing. And they came back with the results and here you are. And you've got these borderline highs and borderline lows. And it's just telling you, here's where you are.
Yeah, you want to get better. Sure.
It's not telling me, you have this condition. That's the one thing that has not been said to me. You now have this condition. It's saying, you're close.
Yeah,
and if you make
and
if you make the changes now, you will avoid it altogether.
So are you, and for your audience who might be borderline high blood sugar going towards diabetes?
I would say that's probably correct, yes.
Is there, because I picked that one because it's epidemic in this country and in a lot of countries, also in Mexico, for example, because some people say because the diet has a lot of sweets and it depends on the theories that you follow. Some people say avoid all sweets, even carrots and beets, which are very sweet. But in India, there is an herb, and it's an herb that is a leaf. It grows in India, but now it's found its way into our health food stores. It's called Gemma Silvestra, G-Y-M-E-N-M-A. Gemma, it looks like Gemina, but it's Gemma Silvestra, which means from the garden, from the woods.
Okay.
And it is an herb that you take in pill form, and it strengthens the pancreas so that it protects the pancreas from shocks. And the kind of shocks I'm talking about are white flour and white sugar and corn syrup in drinks and things that are going to make it overwork. So it takes the stress off the pancreas so that it works better and prevents diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it if you're pre-diabetic to not develop diabetes. And if you're already diabetic, then you take a higher dose, and it brings you back into balance. So I think a lot of what we fear about diabetes can be addressed with diet and exercise, because with exercise, endorphins are released, we feel better, we breathe deeper, the oxygen gets to all of our organs, and it's very healing to have the better circulation and more oxygen.
You know, the most folks like to use the analogy of a car when talking about human health. And
yeah, I don't
if
like that.
Well, I'll use it this time only because I think it kind of fits when you're putting fuel into the car.
Yes.
If they changed the fuel, the chemistry of the fuel radically, the engine could not burn the fuel.
Sure.
Now,
it would just make exhaust.
Right. With the exception of the winter and summer blends that I'm sure you're aware of, we have out here in California, with that exception, the basic chemistry of the fuel has probably been the same for decades.
Are you talking about diet now?
I'm talking about diet. And so if we are fueling our bodies with those things. Now, interesting thing I heard just recently, you mentioned Mexico. Setting aside the bad aspects of soft drinks, which I am fully aware of, which is one of my major addictions, I guess I can say that. Mexico, here in California, we would receive shipments of Mexican soda. A soda is made in Mexico, Cokes and so forth, but they are made with cane sugar. Now, what I've recently heard is they're going to be shifting to corn syrup.
Well, that's too bad.
And
I'm going,
why?
No.
And of course, you know, every once in a while, that would be the soda. If I'm going to drink one, it's going to be one from Mexico because it has cane sugar in it.
Mm. I have something, a suggestion for you.
Sure.
For anyone who has not just overweight, but chronic pain and even gout, which is a very painful arthritis that usually starts in the big toe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a drink that could substitute for a cola drink or a soda drink, and it's seltzer, which is low sodium. We have to protect our heart and avoid high sodium drinks. So seltzer is just carbonated water, and add black cherry concentrate from the health food store. And black cherry concentrate is high in iron, so the effect of it is that it reduces any inflammatory pain, especially arthritic pain and joint pain. Black cherry concentrate, which is very beneficial for the hair, the skin, the internal organs, and reduces chronic joint pain. Now, if you're prone to urinary tract infections, and this is one of the most common infections after being hospitalized, a urinary tract infection, you can have your seltzer and add a cranberry concentrate that's not sweetened.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're adding a concentrate from the health food store to flavor this drink, it could become like a soda drink.
Well, now, I'm glad you brought this up, because that is the very thing that my physician suggested to me. That's what he drinks. I guess he bought one of these soda-making machines to make his own sodas at home, and he uses seltzer water. But my confusion is over, is seltzer water the same as tonic water, as any of the other fizzy waters like Perrier? I mean, it is specifically labeled seltzer.
Yes, it is, and it's a tradition it's an ethnic tradition. I think I have friends who call it Jewish champagne. it's usually served in dairy restaurants because it's digestive. It's considered to be digestive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Perrier is also a sort of a carbonated, but I think it's natural carbonation.
Right, yeah. I just saw a documentary on seltzer, and they were featuring it in New York City because for, I guess, several decades, in the 50s in particular, after World War II, you had... just like milkmen, you had seltzer men who delivered seltzer in 6 or 8 packs, what have you, to the home.
That's nice. That's
very
nice.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's nice. I like to make healthy alternatives to things that people might otherwise abuse, because I like to, having Hungarian background myself, there are a lot of winemakers in Hungary, and they like that. It's kind of a tradition. I make tinctures, medicinal tinctures, using vodka, for example, and adding an herb. And here's one that I made many, many years ago. It's actually an herb. Actually, you can use just about any herb that you want to go to the liver and to affect energy, to affect digestion. So it's the perfect way to make your digestive bitters. And there are many recipes, and there are other ways you can make digestive liqueurs. You can make energy and blood tonics. Let me just give you a couple of recipes, because if you have interested people, of course the herbs can be cooked up as a decoction and simmered for 45 minutes, and it's different. It doesn't have the alcohol, but the alcohol is nice to have too. Now, let's say it's wintertime and it's cold and you want to have more energy. You just take your root of ginseng, Chinese red ginseng or Korean red ginseng, in Latin called Panax ginseng, and you have your health food store, your Chinatown herb shop, slice it, or you empty some capsules of this ginseng into your vodka. And the reason why I choose vodka or gin is that germs will not grow, germs will not live in an environment that is 40 proof or higher. Now, that's brandy or vodka or gin. If you try to put it in wine, it just won't won't happen. Mm-hmm. And you could also grow some germs. You want to avoid that. So what you're having then is an herbal liqueur. After 2 weeks, you have to put in your herb and your sliced ginseng, for example, and then you stop it up so that it doesn't get air and keep it away from light. And 2 weeks later, you have this strong tincture. And the tincture dose, it could be 5 drops or 10 drops or a half a shot, depending on what you use. So ginseng is one for a general tonic for people who are not hypertensive and they can take warming and stimulating. Another delicious one for wrinkles and for rejuvenation and for energy is a combination of astragalus and the jujube, red date. The red date from Chinatown is nourishing, and astragalus, spelled A-S-T-R-A-G-A-L-U-S, astragalus, Chinese will call it huang qi in Chinatown, is an energy tonic and an immunity tonic. Astragalus is a source of T cells to build our immunity against colds and flu. Now, when you take that combination, it's energizing and nourishing, and it brings that nourishment out to the surface of your skin, so it tightens up loose skin tone as it brightens the skin and makes you feel better. And it's a nice as an evening or after dinner or not with a meal, but a between meal beverage, and take about 10-20 drops in a little bit of sparkling water or just plain water, or have it straight because it's sweet and pleasant tasting. So there are a couple of recipes.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm curious about your travels in as much as the gathering of this information, because in spite of the fact that, okay, now we can pick up Letha Haddadi's book, Feed Your Tiger or Naturally Pain-Free, and you do have a third work that is out there as well. It was your first one.
Five
of them. Oh, my God. I'm behind.
I'm working on my sixth.
Oh, Lord,
it's
have mercy.
Book.
But you're traveling around
around
the world collecting this information from...
Sure. During the 80s and 90s, I was in Asia every year.
Wow.
Traveling around and living, going on third-class trains in China. I am glad I did it then and not now.
Yeah.
And having a great old time, just discovering who I was alone, because I grew up in a family that was very, very protective, and I went to a very protective marriage, and I needed to get away for a couple of months in the summer just to see what is in me alone and what I discover about myself in an ancient environment. After I'd studied acupuncture and herbs for years and had a health practice, I wanted to see my connection with the ancient world on the ground in Asia. And it was something that I'm delighted that I had the opportunity to do.
Well, the one thing I comment on about Chinese or Asian healthcare and medicine that goes back probably more than 5,000 years is that they didn't need an FDA. They just knew that it worked.
Well, it took 1,000 years or so to prove that it worked. And the first medical book that I studied in acupuncture school, The Yellow Emperor, was written after acupuncture had been already used for 1,000 years. So it was like a shorthand of doctors talking to other doctors of, this works because, and this is what you do. If you have an epidemic disease, you take isatis, which is an herb in Chinatown, Banlangan, and it's available in our health food stores, finally. So they knew about herbs, they knew about acupuncture, and they had been using it already for 1,000 years before they even started writing it down, codifying it.
Well, I know, too, because you have mentioned this as well, you've mentioned a couple of things in regards to digestion that are really important, because if we don't process, I mean, this is sort of a vicious cycle, that you don't put the right stuff in your body, then your body can't process what you put in it correctly, and then you just have a big mess.
Well, it just goes through you, or else it turns into fat and poisons. And yes, you have to have strong digestion. And traditional Chinese medicine and other Asian traditions stress the importance of digestion. And in my writing, I call the digestive center also the emotional center, because if your blood sugars are up and down, your mood is going to be up and down. If your liver is not working, you're going to tend to get angry and irritable and insomniac and headachy instead of digesting well and eliminating poisons well. Mm. So there's a wonderful balancing remedy that I wrote about in my first book called Asian Health Secrets, and the Chinese name is Xiaoyouan. Xiaoyouan. And it's a remedy that is a digestive remedy, and if you don't want to use Chinese herbs, you can somewhat duplicate it with a tea made of raw ginger and mint and maybe tarragon leaves, because the ginger is a main ingredient in these pills. Mint, the Chinese will add buplorum, which is an herb that gets bile to flow. So there are digestive remedies that are at our fingertips and in our kitchen and in our garden that it's wonderful to know about. It's wonderful to learn about them because they have been proven by use for thousands of years, and they're inexpensive, and they're safe, and they're easy to use. I am writing now a book on heart health. And one thing I want to stress is by the time you have heart symptoms, it's already pretty late in the game. Mm. By the time you have chest pain and arm pain and you're short of breath walking up the stairs, you've already abused your body for some time. Either chronic heart failure by sitting and working and worrying at a computer all day and not exercising, or eating too much red meat and cheese and other fats, or inflammation will do this too, the inflammation of the blood vessels. So what we look for are things that are way earlier, like when you were 15, and if you could look in the mirror and you could see that you were a little jaundiced. I remember this because I was in college, and people would say in the autumn, gee, where have you been? Where have you have the suntan. Did you go to the beach? But it was jaundice. So my liver was not working well.
Right.
And I didn't know at that time what to do when I was in college or when I was a kid. And if you looked at your tongue and you saw that your tongue was really red and dry and cracked, as a Chinese doctor, you'd see that this would be inflammation, that you would need warming, cooling, moistening foods like green foods, like kale and spinach and asparagus to cool down, to moisturize and rejuvenate your internal organs. If you looked at your tongue now today and saw a red tongue, you might have an illness that was predicted by that symptom and by the diet that was too drying, too dehydrating, if you smoked, for example. If you looked at your tongue and you saw a pale tongue, very pale, very white, and scalloped, it would indicate that you need more warming, stimulating kinds of foods, like ginger tea, to tonify, to strengthen your digestion. And then you put together, as more you know about your body, the more you can listen and look at your body and know what's happening with your energy, the better you can choose your diet and your herbs. And this is why I write the way I do, including things to look at in your body. Even a person's voice tells something about them,
mm-hmm.
their energy, and the way they move, the way they breathe, what they're talking about. If you can pay attention to that, some people now have tried to invent something new called energy medicine or energetic medicine. Well, the Chinese and the Asians have been doing this for thousands of years, and they've looked at people and said, you know, this guy needs better circulation because he's got a purple tongue, because he's got a red face, because he's too big in the middle, you know, too heavy in the middle, or because he's short of breath, all kinds of things that most of us ignore. I mean, even a person's odor, a person's body odor can tell you something
mm-hmm.
about your energy. I was very interested to see an article, in the Times a month or two ago, about the smell of cancer. What kind of body odor do we have? And I read the article and put it aside in my file of information. And it corresponded with the Chinese diagnosis of odor, what odor means to illness. For example, if you smell a little fishy, it could be an adrenal issue. If you smell overly sweet, it could be a blood sugar issue. After all, the Latin for diabetes is diabetes mellitus, meaning your urine smells a little sweet. And if you have a liver issue or a cancer that affects the blood or liver, you can smell a little like rotten garbage. Well, most of us don't sniff our friends.
Mm.
But when you're in a room with someone in an enclosed area and you have some kind of close contact and you're not overwhelmed by their deodorant and their perfume and their hairspray, that kind of stuff, if you can get to the real person,
yeah,
or yourself, and notice those things about yourself, then you can tell a lot about your energy.
Mm. When we come back from our break, we're going to get to the heart of the matter, and that's where we're going to go next. The heart. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking right now with the author of Naturally Pain-Free and Feed Your Tiger, and of course, Asian Health Secrets, Letha Hadidi, DAC. We'll even find out what those letters mean when we come back. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay right where you are. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thanks so much for staying with us as we continue talking with Letha Hadidi. I know that with a lot of our programs and the guests that we've had on this program, Letha, that the discussion of the heart is huge. My wife happens to work with the heart, if you will, indirectly. She works with cardiologists in the cardiology department of a local clinic, the Sansom Clinic here in Santa Barbara, and has been worked with the Mayo Clinic, Arizona Heart, and so on and so forth. And the guests that we've had on this program, especially people like Greg Braden, have talked about the importance of the heart. It is not just a question of theoretical. They have been able to prove this is the seat of emotion. And when somebody, my former mother-in-law, it was reported to me actually after her husband died, 4 months later, they said she died of a broken heart.
Yes.
It is a legitimate condition that occurs.
Yes.
And that heart health is huge. I did have an EKG. I don't remember the results. They said I had some kind of thing going on there, but I've had it for years. It's not like it just developed. I've had this for maybe 20 or 30 or more years. I'm 54, so it's not something that they were concerned about and that I should be concerned about. Mm. It's almost as if I can put it in this context, and I may be inappropriate, but it's almost as if that abnormality is normal for me and me alone. Because
the doctors will say that. The doctors will say that because I had an irregular EKG, and they tested me a couple of times, and they said, well, this kind of irregular wave might be normal for you. And I guess there are some people that either from an early illness or some other factor, you can have an irregular EKG.
Yeah.
And if it's a question of surgery or some other procedure that is going to require sedation, anesthesia, they might want to test a person more and give them an echocardiogram if they suspect something.
Yeah.
So I agree with you totally, and so does Asian medicine agree that the heart is the seat of our health, our emotions, our longevity. Some people would say, giving equal time to Ayurveda, the medicine that comes from India.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I love to pursue is that the traditional Indian doctors will say heart trouble comes from our attitudes, and our hypertension and stress could be related to our lifestyle of worrying about money, worrying about family things, but material possession, you know, aggressiveness. And they have, the nice thing about an Asian tradition like that, Ayurveda, is that they don't just scold you and say, well, change your habits. They give you things to do, mm-hmm. like yoga and yogic breathing. It's wonderful. I'm sitting next to a person the other week who had high blood pressure. I took his pulse, and it was irregular. It was high. He was emotionally upset. We sat and we breathed for about 10, 15 minutes, and I took his blood pressure again. It was normal again.
Mm.
It was regular. And there is a tremendous advantage that we have if we look into what used to be considered esoteric and has now become mainstream, because there are yoga centers all over the place. And so breathing, yoga, they've done studies that meditation is as effective a painkiller as many drugs. They've done studies where an apple a day could be as effective for some people as a statin, which is a heart drug that can basically shut down your liver and your kidneys to help just to prevent the harmful cholesterol. So if we look a little further beyond our culture into a tradition that is a naturopathic tradition, a holistic tradition, we might find some very great tools.
You know, it's funny as you're sharing this, and we're going all around the world to try to find answers to our health conditions and questions and so forth, and they come from other parts of the world, and yet the American culture, if you want to call it that, only exists because of the other cultures, the other peoples that came here. And the whole immigration issue aside, how can one discount another culture when the influence is right there? I mean, you cannot escape it from other parts of the world. I only have one one that comes to mind that because you mentioned the liver earlier in the first segment of our program. And I was told that this is something that's really good for your liver. However, you don't want to use this. Maybe you want to use it on a weekend when you're not around a lot of people because it can kind of bring up anger issues. And that's, I believe it's called bok choy. I think that's right.
Well, bok choy is just it's a Chinese green.
Yeah, and it's a liver cleanser.
Well, it's in every restaurant. It's basically an inexpensive green, and it's probably, I don't know, it's probably in the cabbage family. So
okay.
There are a lot of simple foods, even like green cabbage, that is a very strong detoxifier. In Feed Your Tiger, I quote a Turkish researcher who spent 40 years Sarakroglu, I can never pronounce his name. Anyway, it's in Feed Your Tiger. And he spent 40 years researching foods, and one of his recommendations was what he called the broccoli cure for prevention of prostate cancer. And that meant just boiling broccoli in water for 15 minutes, and then drinking the water first thing in the morning and not eating anything for half an hour. And the enzymes from the broccoli going into the water are very protective of our body against prostate cancer. But it also, another side effect, another good effect, would be to clear one's complexion and to make the digestive tract more alkaline.
Mm.
And another one is to simmer cabbage, green cabbage leaf, about four of them, in a couple of cups of water for 15 minutes, and then drink that. You don't even have to eat the cabbage or the broccoli. Just drink the water and not eat for half an hour. And that, I did that. And after a few days, the urine that comes out is oily and heavy, and you see the poisons that you have been holding on to for years. And you do that for every morning for about 5 days, and then you take a break for a couple of days, and then you can do it again. So there are simple greens, like the bok choy, like cabbage, like broccoli, that are going to have a very profound detoxifying effect on our blood and our internal organs, especially our liver, because our liver is very involved in with the enzymes of the liver involved in the processing, the making of the blood.
You know, as you talk about this, gets broken down into very simple chemistry on one level, because you mentioned also in the earlier segment that our health practices, whatever they may be, good or bad, can impact our thought processes, our attitudes.
Sure.
And so the I don't know if we want to use the word claim here, but certainly the theory then would be, if you are using what would be considered detrimental health practices, and your attitudes are really kind of well, I'll use the term half empty.
Yeah, sure.
And then you start to make that transition into better health practices, your attitude would shift to the glass is half full attitude framework.
Yeah, let me tell you a joke. Harpo Marx.
Groucho?
Groucho, of course. Groucho, one of my favorite silly people.
He finds you silly too.
he drank martinis, and he drank alcohol at dinner because it improved the company he was with. And so if we take that a step further towards, you know, the natural, if you eat foods that are going to make your body feel more at ease, your mood is going to be better, and you can get along better with the people around you.
Yeah,
and I found that to be the case myself.
I can understand that too, and I think I may have experienced it, but I don't know that I was completely aware of it. My favorite Groucho Marx was in this movie where he was standing, and this woman said, "Hold me closer," and he would push closer. Yeah. He said, "Closer." Okay, hugs are a little tighter. Closer. I hold you any closer, I'll be behind you.
Cute.
But we really need to take a look at these things. Now, here's the dilemma for most of us. Now, many of the items you have mentioned, within the context of these recipes that you have given us in the program thus far today, many of these are available to health food stores.
Yeah.
They're not something that are going to be that hard to find.
Or online.
I mean, it's like it's there, and you're not going to have to take out a second mortgage on the home.
These
are very inexpensive. Whereas, and I'm going to say maybe even it was just a few years ago, that in order for you to eat healthy and well, it's going to cost you a lot more for the various foods because they were more expensive. Now everything is so much more mainstream.
Yeah.
I think I can put whole foods in the category of providing healthy food as opposed to a Vons or an Albertsons or the chain stores, those kinds of things.
It depends. Try to go organic as much as possible.
Right.
And whole foods can be expensive.
Sure, it can be, depending upon what you purchase. But at least...
I think it's important to eat the right thing for you.
Wherever you get it. Or if you can have your own garden, so much the better.
Oh, wonderful. That would be great.
That's even ideal, and not all of us can.
I have a garden in my cupboard, and I make sprouts. I get organic sunflower seeds, and I make sprouts, and that's my garden. I'm in New York in a tiny apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And in Vermont, if I spent more time in the summer in Vermont, I could probably order a kit with spores and for mushrooms, growing medicinal mushrooms, and find a dead tree. They're all over the place. And put the spore into the tree, and 3 months later, you've got shiitake, or you've got something else that is hen of the woods, which have anti-cancer benefits. And so there are things that we can do and grow, even under limited circumstances.
And I think that when people start talking about health care and they start talking about the expense therein, I mean, I suppose I would classify myself as one of the fortunate ones that A, I have good health, relatively good health. B, that I have a relatively good health healthcare coverage that my wife and I are able to take advantage of to monitor how things are going. I would rather do preventative.
Sure.
Unfortunately,
it's easier on you. You know.
Oh yeah.
It's nicer.
It's much nicer. I've seen what the alternatives are, and they are not fun. I wouldn't wish those treatments on my worst enemy. Those are some nasty things. I've seen people go through chemotherapy treatments for cancers, and you know. And as I said, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. That is just it's just some nasty stuff. But the thing about it is that we all have to find that which works best for us. It's like you said also earlier in the program that we're all different, that there is no one solution that fits all.
Yeah, that's why, for example, in Feed Your Tiger, I have the four types of people, the dragons, the bears, the tigers, the cranes.
Right.
Because they're going to have different diets and different addictions and different treatments for those addictions.
Yeah.
Like for the dragon, the person who has obesity or global overweight and weakened immune system, weakened energy, medicinal mushrooms, as long as they're not allergic to them, medicinal mushrooms are a wonderful treatment for them for prevention of illness. And also, it's a source of protein. You can get extracts, health food store extracts of reishi mushroom. I cook the reishi from Chinatown just in a crock pot. For the bear, the person with the sweet tooth and a little bit too heavy around the middle and maybe a blood sugar problem, if they started taking Gemma Silvestra, which I mentioned, or they just start eating whole grains instead of white bread, or less carbohydrates like bread and more sweet potato. That's nice. It tastes sweet, and it's yams are very, very healthy. There are a tradition of health food yams around the world. Every country has its very healthy yams from Asia and even Peru. You get maca, which is an excellent yam. If you need estrogen, it gives you more estrogen. Your body makes more estrogen. If you need testosterone, your body makes more testosterone. If you eat this this powdered yam called maca, M-A-C-A. So depending on your body type and your energy needs, there is a diet that is better for you, and there are supplements that are better for you. The problem I find personally with the new cardiology, we've been talking about the testing for heart issues as being possibly hazardous, and the treatments as being definitely with risks and side effects. The problem I have with some of the new cardiologists who are recommending either humongous amounts of supplements or a diet that nobody's going to follow very long because it's like all sprouts, which is fun. I love sprouts, but you need other things too. They're practicing what they call holistic medicine in an allopathic way. They're saying instead of take this drug, take, 40 capsules a day of this stuff, it's going to cost you a fortune, and it's not covered by insurance. So some people are going to say, I don't want to take the drug, and I can't afford the drug, neither can I afford these supplements. So they're caught between a rock and a tight place.
Right.
You need to have something that is going to be a diet that works for you that you can afford and that you can work into your lifestyle,
yeah.
And a couple of supplements. We need to simplify our life instead of complicated.
Yeah.
So it's the more you know about your body and your energy type, the better you can, the more wisely you can choose what your prevention program is. Some people don't want to even take supplements. They would rather sit for 15 minutes a day, do some deep breathing, and clear their mind. And that's what they will need to reduce stress. And in reducing stress, they will cool down the blood vessels that get over-inflamed and can lead to heart trouble.
As many of our listeners, as well as myself, are trying to do, trying to lead a more balanced life, again, hold down. My wife and I have been going through boxes that we haven't opened since we moved 8 years ago, and we've cleaned those out and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we're also trying to live a more interior life, a more spiritual, higher spiritual life, if you will.
Lovely. That's so good for the relationship, too.
And I know, too, that when you're not feeling well, you don't feel like doing the things that will cultivate that kind of life, that interior life.
That's true. You want to sort of withdraw, and some people want to be left alone, and some people just want to bite somebody else.
Yeah.
So if you can, if a person in a relationship can do a couple of simple things every day, it can make a tremendous difference, such as if, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, of course, if you can have some moments that you share with him, whether a coffee break or a tea break is even better, because tea is so healthy for us and so good for one's digestion. And sitting at the television, if you can just massage a part of him that hurts or that's troubled, like the stomach or the feet, it is so much a beautiful bond that you can have. We need to touch more. We need to hug more. We need to give more of our love and our energy to our loved one to make that bond closer. And a lot of people just don't bother. They get caught in their work and in their head and in their routine, and they forget to share some comfort together,
yeah,
which keeps them closer together.
And that's very interesting, because I just saw a report on a Sunday morning program about touch, and that they did a study, and I wish I could remember the countries in particular. They weren't here. I think it was Europe in general, but they did mention, I think, some specific countries where in a given day they touched like 80 to 100 to 140 times.
Wow, that's a lot.
And
I'm going to move there.
Something like that. In the United States, maybe two times a day.
I think it depends also on the ethnic group you're part of. I noticed when I'm walking in Midtown, it's different when I'm walking in Chinatown. People have a different sense of space around them and how they take that space.
Yeah.
But when you're at home, when you're with your family, I've heard lovely, lovely stories about mothers and children. You know, like the mother will bathe her baby or massage her child at bedtime just to get them to go to sleep. Well, we can do this with our loved one too,
mm-hmm,
our partner, just to share that pleasure together.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have to be sex all the time. Goodness, it can be something that is relaxing, quieting, and just getting breathing together at the same time. You get into a space that's a similar space, a similar rhythm, and that's very good.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even when we're passing in the house, and we live in a two-room cottage, and so it's sometimes close quarters, and it's kind of it's unavoidable that you're going to touch,
yeah,
each other. So it isn't just rubbing bodies up against one another as we're passing. I mean, you know, I put my hand on her as I'm passing just to let her know,
that's
hi,
nice.
I see you there, and so on and so forth.
That's nice. And also having a pet. This does a lot. Pets. I mean, I love the stories where they're training dogs now to be able to smell illness, smell,
mm-hmm,
disease, and use them in diagnosis.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
But we have two cats, and there's no getting away from them. They rule the house, and
yes,
they're such fun.
Well, we have seven cats.
Good for you.
we have two dogs. They're both shepherds, and the youngest is the largest and hasn't stopped growing yet.
Hmm.
Sleeps on the bed with us, and that's interesting how he...
That's a menage a trois.
In more ways than one. We're still trying to work with him on dealing with the cats, but
uh-huh,
when he gets up on the bed and goes to sleep, the cats will come onto the bed, and there is absolutely no problem. You know, it's amazing, and of course we're pinned in pretty good, but we're kept warm,
really,
on the winter nights.
Move, huh?
Exactly.
You know, I had to laugh. I heard the name of the singing group, the Three Dog Night, and that's a cute name. What does it mean? And it was some Australian group that said, when it's really cold, you get all your dogs in bed with you, and that's a Three Dog Night.
I like that. I like that. Well,
isn't that cute?
We used to have four, but they were all outdoor dogs. They were husky, Siberian huskies, and that's just where they spent their time. But we would always go out and play with them, and so forth. And having animals is, I think, is an integral part of one's overall health and well-being.
I agree.
But
totally,
you have to find the right one. Just because someone tells you, oh, you need a dog or you need a cat, You know what? Believe it or not, you can even have just a bird in a cage. We used to have a lovebird or two in a cage in the house back in Phoenix. We didn't have cats. We only had the Siberians in the backyard, and they weren't in the house. And just having that bird in the house and the song, the music that the bird would make.
Oh, it's lovely. Sure.
That was sufficient. You know, I mean, it worked very well. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Good for your energy, I'm sure, to have the bird song, because it's got to affect your energy, your circulation, and your mood. Wonderful.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to share with you something that my listeners already know about, and I want to dive into an area that we haven't yet, because I think it's very important in the last period of time that we have here. One of your books is called Naturally Pain-Free, Enjoyable Foods, Herbs, and Body Treatments for Headaches, Teeth Troubles, Sexual Discomfort, Carpal Tunnel, and the list goes on and on and on. I had a torn tissue in my knee, and I did not know that that's what I had, and it went on for 2 years. And what would happen?
Was it an injury?
It was it wasn't an injury. I think it was progressive. When we moved here to Santa Barbara, as opposed to living in Phoenix where it's flat, we didn't have chickens. And we live now in a place where we have hills. In order to get to the chickens, you had to go down this hill and then back up again. And I'm carrying 50-pound bags of chicken feed on my right shoulder. So it was my right knee and the meniscus tore on both the inner and outer areas. And I went on for 2 years, not so much with the continuous pain, but only if I was to, say, bang my knee against the desk underneath the desk or run it into something, and it would bruise, and then the swelling and the pain, to the point where I was using a cane and a brace in order to get around on particular days. And then, of course, the swelling would diminish. I would be taking ibuprofen for the swelling so that the pain wouldn't be so bad.
So it's not... did you have X-ray then?
Oh, I had the MRI. And then I had the surgery that removed the torn material.
Right.
And ever since then, and it was done in on December 21st, 2012, ever since then, as the healing process continued, I have had, from that particular issue, no more pain. And... my blood pressure was high during that period of time.
Well, of course, for the pain.
Yeah.
Sure.
Surgery does
work.
Sure. There are certain instances.
It's already too late for other things.
Right.
You know, I put off my hip surgery for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
During that time, I, with natural treatments, everything from acupuncture and homeopathic medicines for pain to stem cell injections. And I wanted to wait with the surgery until I could get Medicare to pay for it, because I couldn't afford anything else. So if you can, as much as possible, use the natural remedies. For people who have chronic arthritic knee swelling, I'm trying to think of your audience now, a little more general.
Mm-hmm.
Yucca is a very good...
Oh.
Yucca capsules is a very good... treatment for swollen knees, because it is high in saponins, and saponins are a chemical that make our joints slip as though there's soap in between the joints. And it's also anti-inflammatory and estrogenic. So it's going to be useful for people who can take those kinds of that kind of herb. Another thing, acupuncture works very well, and I prefer laser acupuncture for painful joints, because the needles can hurt also.
Mm-hmm.
And for diabetic people, infection is a higher risk.
Right.
So for the knee, if you're going to be putting something cold, like a cold pain rub, like Icy Hot or Blue Ice or something, put your hand on your kneecap with your fingers pointing down, and where your second and your fourth finger are, the impression there on the bottom of the kneecap, those are good points to put something cooling. Or if you don't want to find the acupuncture point, just put on the top of the knee and over to the side towards the inside section of the knee, you know, towards the trunk, a cooling rub, or a rub that is going to, like arnica, for example, a rub that is going to be cold and warm,
right,
because that's going to increase circulation, bring blood circulation there, and heal that kind of injury. Of course, putting ice for 20 minutes getting your feet up, lying down and putting your feet up is good not only for varicose veins, but for joint issues like knee and joint, the knee and hip.
Yeah. Went through a lot of bags of frozen peas.
Yeah. They
seem to work
that.
Best. Yeah.
Sure. They do. Yeah. Because you can surround the whole joint that way.
Well, this whole issue of pain is extremely important because the pain, as I found out, brings on a lot of other issues like high blood pressure and
you bet.
And so
testiness, crappiness.
Yeah. Oh, I was cranky, and I knew why I was cranky, so I was monitoring that so that whenever I spoke to my wife, it wasn't with a cranky tone because she doesn't like that, and I can understand.
That, sure, it hurts my feelings. Yeah, sure.
But the other thing too is I found that when I began to understand the reasons for the inflammation, okay, knowing that, yes, I want to reduce the inflammation, but I know why the inflammation is there. The whole purpose is the body is trying to protect that area.
Sure.
That's why it puffs up.
That's why we get bone spurs, too.
You know,
that's extra tissue you don't want because the body's trying to protect itself, and sometimes it overdoes it.
Sure. So once I understood that, I thought, okay, taking the ibuprofen or icing it down and then heating it and icing it and so forth, going back and forth, I knew that it was okay because I was going to do my best not to run it into anything, not to let the dogs run into it and so on and so forth. And fortunately, I had this done right before we got this new puppy who is now over a year old and is as big as my dog. And now I'm able to go out and play. We're able to have fun
good.
In the yard. I'm able to run around in the yard with him and so on and so forth. So there's so much in regards to pain that, we just don't have the time to cover. But I would highly recommend, folks, that you pick up a copy of Naturally Pain-Free, Prevent and Treat Chronic and Acute Pain Naturally. And Letha Hadidi, I want to thank you so much. By the way,
Do me a favor. Spell my name so people can find me.
Yes, I will. That's Letha.
Letha.
And that's Hadady. Hadidi. Hadidi.
Yeah, Hadidi.
And the DAC stands for?
Oh, that's acupuncture. My study's in acupuncture.
Okay. Well, we certainly want
to
thank you so much for
pleasure.
Sharing
nice
this time.
To talk to you.
And
wonderful.
I'm certainly going to go back and listen to this program again, get get that information as far as, like I said, seltzer, I'm going to get a barrel full.
also, look at my website, AsianHealthSecrets.com.
AsianHealthSecrets.com is her website. Letha Hadidi, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, and I look forward to having you back again when you have your sixth book out.
Oh, yeah, great.
Because
I'd love to come anytime and talk to you.
It's always
nice to talk.
Well, because we can talk more about the heart, because that's what this new book is that you're working on. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to all.